Hey, you okay?
Oh, some damn enchiladas. Oh.
You gonna be all right?
Welcome, everybody. We're back for another week. That's right. It's Them Damn Enchiladas, the podcast. It is July 10th as of this recording. My name is Adam Griffin at Griffin Moyer on the socials. All handles in the show notes. And today I'm joined by, that's right, our core four is here. And yes, that's a hint as to what we're talking about. We've got Carlos Rivera. Carlos, what's happening?
You.
Rob Christie.
Howdy.
Rob, what's going on? Howdy from Rob. Howdy to everybody. Howdy to you, listeners. And of course, we got Mark Warren, podcast producer for the stars, lurking out there in cyberspace, trying to keep us all on track. Mark, hello.
Hi, Mark.
Hello, fellas. How's everybody feeling?
Well, that's a loaded question to start off this podcast episode with. But I'm going to say I'm doing just dandy. How about you guys?
Old. Old is how I feel right now.
Just Danny.
You took your afternoon nap?
No.
There lies the case.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Naps are good. So everybody's feeling fine, feeling good, feeling great. We're here to talk about Scream. That's right, Scream. Scream 4, Scream 5. In Scream 6. Now, if you're like, well, what about the other Scream movies? You know, 1 through 3. Well, if you're an avid listener to Scatterbrain Radio, or if you're just hanging out and wondering what the hell's going on, we have a podcast called Heck Mouth. That's Heck Mouth with myself, Adam Griffin, and joined by one Mr. Our Favorite, Dr. Mr. Coach, Andrew Wilczek, where we talk about movies. You go into a deep dive discussion about movies, and there is a 2.5 to 3 hour Scream episode lurking in the archives. So if you're interested in more Scream talk outside of this, check that out. But today we are here for Scream 4, Scream 5, and Scream 6. So fellas, we're going to go into regular movie order here and start with Scream 4. That's right, 2011 Scream 4, the unfortunately final movie from Wes Craven. To kind of set the tone here, did Scream 4 do the whole legacy thing first?
This is just a general question, not to any, either of us.
Yeah, just general question, just to start things off, get our thoughts flowing.
For my experience in horror in general, the series, the franchise. Absolutely. In general, did they just kind of do it first?
Well, as far as trends go, you know, we didn't really start hearing about legacy stuff in the wider conversation in the horror genre until about 5-6 years ago. So way back in, you know, 2011, we had everybody coming back 10 years after the last installment. So, you know, did it kind of set the tone first for what was to come in years ahead?
Yes. Like I said, for my experience, absolutely.
Okay. Carlos, anything?
No, I agree with my cohort, Mr. Horowitz, Christy, on his opinion. I do think that, yeah, Scream did it first. Scream 4 did it first. And kind of weird thinking that, you know, we're going to talk about Scream 5 and 6 after Scream 4 happened.
Yeah.
So that's That's the craziness that we get into here on this podcast.
Yeah, because again, going kind of to kind of tie this back into our discussion for Halloween in episode 70, Scream 4 kind of ends everything for that particular group between Dewey, Sydney, and Gail. You know, everything kind of wraps up for them. That's the end. And five and six, fill in the gaps after their actual story ends, character wise. You know, since it's a movie, and since it's been committed to film, these characters are going to be around forever, no matter what happens in eventual installments. But the crux and driving motivations of this story all pretty much end in part four. So here's a funny thing I saw when rewatching this movie. Tonally, and this is for the entire group, tonally, I think that Scream 4 has the structure of a versus movie. Now hear me out here. We've got Sydney, Dewey, and Gail. They are all approaching things as if they're in a Scream movie, right? All your new characters are operating from the idea that they're in a Stab movie. Now, Stab is, of course, the franchise within the franchise, the movie series based on the events that happened in the Scream movies. So it's a movie within a movie. Because every other character has this kind of approach that you would expect from characters in movies. But our returning characters from the first three are all operating as if they know the real deal. So I kind of find it interesting that there's this duality at play. Your characters that exist outside the framework going up against what's happening when characters that have been inspired and are motivated by fiction, pretty much as our killers are motivated by the Stab movies rather than what these Scream characters have gone through. So, well, I was just wondering, you know, your thoughts about how we're kind of seeing now franchise characters go up against almost in essence the very things that they created.
I think not to get in too much of an aside here, my favorite part of that bit is it's okay. So you have the new characters coming out of the Stab franchise, essentially, which in itself is based off of further material within the movie series. Stab 1 being based off of Gail's book, The Westboro Murders. And I'm not going to lie, the first time I noticed that, it just kind of made me laugh a little bit. I was like, wait, how deep does this rabbit hole actually go? It also kind of explains why in Scream 4, I'm going to be honest, I didn't have that much of an idea who the other killer was. One of them kind of was like, yeah, it's got to be him. And the other, I was just like, I didn't have her pegged at all. Just nope. I was not sure who that was. I should have known it wasn't the obvious one, Trevor. But it just never came through for me.
Oh, and I should have said this up top, but we're probably going to spoil the hell out of all these movies.
Spoiler alert.
I'm not sure how we could have a good discussion about at least 4 and 5 without being mad spoilery. And frankly, 6 either.
6 we kind of got to go in. But yeah, Carlos, any thoughts?
No, I thought that was eloquently said. However, with 4, you're right. With the it's to me, it would have it was a good ending for and how they wrapped everything up and how everything went along. I wasn't ready for a 5 or a 6, I'll be honest with you. I thought, frankly, they might have. I don't. Granted, it wasn't even that much time in between, like, between Scream 4 and Scream 5. We've had a longer period of time without movies having got to their next part. But 4 kept me on my toes, I'll tell you that much. You know, when you think of who the killer is, that's one thing about the Scream franchise. We finally pick up on every Scream movie. There's just a different killer. And it's not, I won't say it's obvious. I did pick it up in part 6, which I was very proud of myself. But we're talking about 4. So, 4 was like that star, like a star studded cast of like teenage idols from that time period.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, this is like a new wave. This is when you first start having those thoughts about, oh, this is going to continue. Because they have so many young characters that they introduced that you can't just introduce them and then not like have them come back. As we see, spoiler, Kirby in part 6, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really funny how I think 4 serves best if you watch it at least twice. Because, you know, first time you're getting all twist live, hopefully, you know, if you're watching it without being spoiled. So again, you know, if you guys like, oh, it's Scream stuff, I haven't seen part 4 yet, just turn this off, please. Turn us off, bookmark it.
Do not continue to listen.
Yeah, bookmark it and then take down your little timestamp for what time we are in the recording and then come back to it, you know, once you watch it. But, you know, part 4, you have to watch it twice. And you have to watch it twice because you got to watch the performances from the killer's perspective. Because, and again, we're going to spoil Hollis. We're with the killer from the jump in this one. These people who are manipulating all the events of this movie, we're with them from the beginning. And that is fascinating compared to the other movies. You know, I don't think we've been that close since Billy and Stu, right? But even then, there's the element of surprise because there's an aspect of reverse engineering involved, right? And so there are no sequels when Scream 1 is made. You know? So everything has to be meticulous in all those choices. With this one, with any of them come, you know, except for, you know, if you heard the stories about part 2 and all that stuff, you have to work from the reveal. And you have to know who that killer is from the jump. You can't do that kind of movie otherwise, you know, on the fly or anything. There's a different aspect to it. So it's great to see Kevin Williamson and Wes Craven, you know, have this one. Well, you know, unfortunately, due to circumstances, it is their ultimate take on Scream as a whole, you know. So I think that movie benefits from, you know, repeat viewings to see all the nuances, especially in that final sequence. I think Scream 4 has my favorite final sequence in all the movies because it's a two-hander. You have at least 3 different fake outs in a 25-minute stretch, and it is fantastic. You have the whole trope/meme of Ghostface being a complete clumsy jerk when Joe goes whole hog trying to set everything up. Yep. And it is wonderful. Just such a great, great fun film. And I, like I said, I think it was a great ending to the story as we knew it back then. Rob, anything on that?
I just want to point out my favorite bit from the ending is when she's going on about writing a book with Gail, talking about how they're, you know, connected now because they have the same wound. And then Dewey says that to Gail, and she's like, wait, how did she know? The dude's like, oh shit, and he runs out of the room.
Yeah, just lots good of old,
which fits Dewey in very nicely with when Sydney was like, they always slip up.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, just, she sure fucking did.
Yeah. Wonderfully smart movies. And then just the dark irony of the ending itself, that last final shot of Emma Roberts. I was like, we have a new heroine for the future. Oh, if you only knew how wrong you were. Just wonderful, wonderful moment. So great. And it's funny because when we watched that back for Heckmouth, I went on and on about how what would it be like if, you know, the world of Scream took the wrong message from that ending? Like, what would it be like if somebody said, you know, if somebody was mad at the events that took place and decided to rewrite history and we get this, what I refer to at the time as the cult of Ghostface.
What would that be like?
And then we get Scream 5 and Scream 6, which is, in my opinion, it is a good two-hander to kind of expand the world a bit more. And kind of, I think, ground things and reposition the franchise for modern times. The way they did it was they just said, yeah, we know what you expect, but you're not going to get it. So Scream 5, I will not go into it right now. I'll let somebody else take the first stab. Yeah, I'll say it, stab. First stab.
Yes. Come on.
Not professional yet. Still got a warm up.
Jesus.
Hey, man, we're having fun.
What I loved about Scream 5 is this is probably the first, well, not the first time, because after I've watched Scream a million times, I started to figure out who the bad guys were. But Scream 5, using Sydney initially as a suspect, was, you know, kind of cool. I like that. I like the fact that they try to set her up from the beginning as the killer. So that would try to, you know, that would almost erase the history of all the other incidents that have happened. Because I know between parts 3 and 4, Wes Craven had said that in real life, no murders had happened. So the Scream, you know, the stab murders, because that's what they became. They became almost, like the nuance of what stab was how the movies were coming out.
Right.
But Scream 5, it's a fun ride. I especially, I love Jack Quaid in it. He was excellent. And to see how it all developed into the main storyline, because the way I see it, and you can quote me on this one, all right, you can quote me on this, is that I thought 5 was a better ending than 4. I see your face, Robbie. You seem a little confused by that statement.
Not confused, intrigued.
Well, I can see that, because, franchises irrevocably changed after 5. So yeah, the franchise as we know it is done with Scream 5. Because you're not going back to how it used to be.
Correct. And even though the movies are all, you know, supposed to be a relaunch, part 5, it was still a direct sequel to part 4.
Yep.
So that's where it's a little weird to think about. But once they, I know once 4 came out, they were ready to do 5 and 6.
Yeah, they just started.
I think it came. Yeah,
they couldn't at the time due to how 4 was initially received and how it did at the box office. And then in the interim, Wes Craven passed, and that the rights went up for grabs, and then we got to where they could actually make the movie.
Yeah, it was a box office success. Scream did over $138 million against a budget of $24 million. I remember that. That was like, people love the Scream series.
That's you know? That seems real good for a horror movie. Just across a wide released horror movie. Like, it made over $100 million. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, we're making back 3-4 times the budget. Definitely a good thing. So yeah, Rob, Scream 5 before I end up yapping.
I like Scream 5 a lot. I greatly enjoyed how it's just like, hey, here's all the things you're expecting from Scream. Nope. Get fucked. If you wanted me to put that whole movie into one singular phrase, that phrase would be, motherfucker, you thought. You thought.
Yeah.
But you were wrong. Every single time you were wrong. She's like, God damn it.
Yeah, big time. I think, and we always get good performances out of any Scream cast, but I think that Scream 5 is David Arquette's movie. Just completely owns it, and then some. What a damn good performance. Obviously, he knew that was going to be it for Dewey, so he left it all out there. Every single nuance, everything you love about that character is, and to see the toll, the actual toll of having a character like that in a long running legacy franchise, if you will, seeing the actual toll, what the actual ending of a character is, as opposed to the happy ending in part 4. Well, you know, fairly happy because it got beat up again. But, you know, the happy ending in part 4 where everybody makes it to a repeat of some incidents in part 2 where Randy doesn't make it out. You know, you think these characters are going to make it out. And sometimes they don't. Sometimes, as discussed in parts of Scream 6, sometimes for not very good reasons. Sometimes the proper care is not taken with legacy characters. These are characters that mean something to people. To take them off the page is a very heavy act, regardless of what we think should or should not happen in movies. Yes, they're fictional characters, but they do mean a lot to people. So removing Dewey from the circumstances is a very bold thing to do. And you have to have something to not replace, but to make it all matter, make it all count, and make it worth it. Because you're not gonna plug something into to fill up David Arquette's performance in the franchise, you know. As we see in Scream 6, we're not gonna, you know, there is an absence when characters like Sidney Prescott aren't around. The movie takes on a much more dangerous and different tone. these characters do count when they're there and when they're not. And to take Dewey away shows that the creative team in this regard has it covered. They're doing this for all the stakes. They're going to make it matter and they're going to make it count. And how do you make it count? You have one of your new main heroines stab the killer 23 times.
23.
And slicing your throat. Talk about a cathartic release.
That was amazing. Guess we could mention that she also shoots the other one in the head. We could mention that, but why?
Well, Rob, here's the funny thing.
You just did. You silly.
Definitely not referencing anything that ever gets said in those movies. Never.
And how about that reveal at the end of what house they're in?
Do you want a detailed description of what happened? Or
no, I'm just saying that they're in Stewbacher's house, the side of the first movie's ending, and just the reveal, the way they shoot it, because the whole thing is in like the and initially this whole party that everybody's at is in the classic, you know, 80s neon horror movie lighting, pretty much lots of reds and greens. Nice little nod to another franchise I won't say because. You don't ever get a good perspective of where they are, you know, what actual house this is. Like, is this a star house? Do all the houses in Woodsboro look like this now? Don't know. No idea. But then they link it up to Stewbacher's house. And, oh, man, once they pull back and show that staircase, home. You're back in the madhouse. Scream 5, just what a fantastic movie. What a fantastic way back.
I'll tell you that when we talk about the end though, and her going nutso, I guess. I mean, it's justified.
Oh yeah.
You think, you know, you're getting, you know, run around getting people chasing you, trying to kill you. If you, you know, if you let out 23 stabs, then, you know, who's really counting after you get, once you get to like 17? That's, I think, like 17 stabs, like, it's all relative, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. After the first couple.
She fucked him up.
Just like, I'm not done yet. I'm going to make damn sure you don't ever get up. Make damn sure I never see anyone in a black cloak and a ghost face mask ever again. Oh, shit.
Funny how that works. These people just don't get the hint, right?
No.
Because less than a year later, what did we get earlier this year? We got Scream 6, Ghostface Takes Manhattan. No.
Listen, damn it. Relax with that. Relax with that. Only one person took Manhattan.
Well, Vancouver, but
oh, well,
I can't believe you've done this.
That's right. We moved, and I'd been waiting for a franchise, especially one of these other franchises, to go national. Like Carlos, when we talked about Saw, it was always, is Jigsaw going to go national?
Yeah.
We finally start to get it. We finally start to see what happens when this crap goes national and people start getting inspired by stuff for all the wrong reasons. With one of my favorite openings of a Scream movie, with poor Samara Weaving.
Poor Samara Weaving, you know?
Best horror movie scream, no pun intended,
I don't know.
It's a good scream. It's a good scream. Just saying. Watch Ready or Not. Watch Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 1.
Okay, I was just going to say, I thought that that kill really established the tone of the movie, like, immediately, as being just mean as hell. She's like, damn.
I was like, oh, we got Samara Weaving in here. Why is she here? So, why is she in this so early in the movie? Oh, wait, hold up. Oh, no. No. That's how it went down for me when I watched it. I was like, no.
Damn shame.
That's a damn shame.
Carlos, go ahead.
Killing off the main character from Ready or Not, I was so, like, I got hurt. I was offended.
Yeah.
And some no-name dude.
And that's the fun part of that opening. Because that jump cut, usually that's where the title comes in, right?
Yep.
A character gets off. We see the knife come down. Smash cut to the actual opening title logo. Not this time. And that's when I knew we were in completely new territory. Because you get to sit with who you think is the killer for a bit. And, you know, kind of see motivations here and there. And again, you know, much like in part four, much like if you watch part five more than once, you kind of see these killers set things up in ways that you don't pick up at first glance. But here we've never actually been right with who we think is the killer, only to get swerved big time. I think this movie has one of my favorite Ghostface performances by Roger L. Jackson. Just because when he's like, you know, who gives a fuck about movies? Just like, what? Just phenomenal work. And I do like how the physicality of Ghostface has always been great throughout the series, but in five, and especially in part six, when that mask shows up, it is not a joke. It's not funny. This is not a bumbling character as much as it was in the first three movies. The motivations for the killers is increasingly more and more feral and animalistic. Like, they're operating on terms that we can't even hint to fathom, even when they explain it, you know? And you can see it whenever we get into these kill scenes in these chase scenes. Just I love how much they revitalize Ghostface physically in these last two movies, just because it's just been so much fun to see.
Now, out of this movie, did we ask you guys, did you have an idea of who the killer was, or did this one completely, like, blindside you?
I did. And then they started all the hand waving at the end, and I was like, "Oh well, I'm on for the ride now. I don't want to guess anymore. I just want to have fun." Because, you know, everybody ends up as the killer is implicated early, right? But then they subtly move things around so that you're not sure. You know, it's like Kirby shows up. You know, this is too convenient. And then they kind of move things around. So that, okay, she's in the clear. And then they swerve back into it. It's like, wow. They did such a good job.
I literally laughed out loud when Jenna Ortega kills, what's his name? And goes, you're dying.
Die a fucking virgin.
that was so great.
That was so nasty, too. It's like, stab someone in the mouth.
In the mouth.
And then you see the slow twist. It's like, ooh, goddamn.
Well, we knew right away this once the doctor got killed in the freaking nose, I was like,
yeah,
whoa.
Yeah.
He got stabbed through the nose.
Well, not to mention the first two kills in that movie, both people get stabbed like 19 times in the chest. And then they get their throats cut. It's like, yeah, okay, Ghostface is Ghostface, whoever Ghostface winds up being, is done fucking around.
Yeah.
It seems like they ramped up the competence of Ghostface and also the people that he chased, because they didn't just blindly run into shit. They would turn around and, you know, fight Ghostface off. Ghostface gets kicked right in the goddamn face at least once. Chad punches the shit out of him twice. Good old Chad.
Good old Chad. Just
good old Chad.
Try to redeem that name.
Yeah. Speaking of getting stabbed like 19 times.
Well, here's a fun thing about, well, fun in quotation marks. Here's an interesting thing about how bodies are treated in this movie. Because it's set up in the opening monologue with how the would-be killer, or one of the killers, because there's lots of killers in this movie, how the killer is describing, this person was not a body, it was just meat. And that is an ethos for the entire film. These characters, yes, they're autonomous characters with thoughts and feelings, and they have motivations, but the force that is after them is going to treat them like meat. This movie is brutal towards its characters because it sees them as meat that can get stabbed, 5, 10, 15, 20 times. Characters that were fatally stabbed in previous movies get stabbed just as bad. These characters have become meat for this franchise. So with that in mind, for the purposes of the franchise, especially in this movie, how we see the motivations come about. I'm going to pose this question. Whoever wants to go first can go first. But is Ghostface, as a concept, in the world of Scream and Stab, is Ghostface immortal?
Absolutely. Fucking anybody with a, if you'll pardon how I phrase this, a fucked up enough mindset can go out, find the mask, find a mask, I should say, not the mask. Obviously, there's, the ones you go to your local Halloween store and pick up versus the actual Ghostface masks that were on display somewhere. The mask.
Well, we know where the
mask. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the mask.
So there's
well, the book. Right now, the mask got left on a street somewhere, right?
Right within that, I'm assuming, smashing distance. And yeah, we already know that such things get sold on the black market, as established in the movie.
Such things get sold on the black market. There's still plenty of potential threads to be woven into this tapestry.
There's still terabytes of film from part four. There's the years of planning that various entities have done on places like Reddit, as told in part five.
Oh, so, God.
Yeah. And knowing what we know, ooh, about, yikes, how people conduct themselves on the internet, this franchise can go on for a very, very long time.
Yeah, they could make a lot of these movies, and anybody with their proper motivation, as we saw, can be Ghostface. They may be Ghostface for the space of, a single murder, which, don't get me wrong, is awful, but compared to the numerous murders that most of them are attempting to commit, seems kind of like not as big a deal. Boy, I hate where my brain went just then.
hey, man, I'm the one that was thinking. Remember the cult of Ghostface? Imagine how my brain looked.
But yeah, like it, it doesn't even take that much motivation. The first ghost face we see in Scream 6 is some fucking asshole film student gets a bug up his ass.
Isn't it all some wannabe asshole film student that just ruins the world?
Just entirely ruins probably multiple people's lives just because they're like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna do this. Anyway,
well, that's, see what's funny about that when we get the, you know, the first kill is that it's not officially the first kill,
right?
Until you know, Ghostface kills him,
right?
Or he finds his roommate's, you know, beheaded,
that's right,
body in the fridge.
Yeah,
that's the first technical kill of the movie. Because the other guy, he was an asshole. He doesn't want to see how to kill. That's not motivation. Like we've gotten motivation down packed in every film. Why people go out there to kill? This guy was like, "Oh, I just had to do it."
Well, he said,
"I just wanted to know what it feels like."
Well, he said he had to practice because he and his partner were going to kill Sam and Tara for what they did to Richie.
Correct.
So he was a ghost face that was a loose end.
Wait, were they going to? No, you're right. Sorry, I just had a brain fart. No, carry on.
Yeah. He says,
so
that, we're going to finish the film.
Yeah. So here's the thing. So here's before we move into the idea of legacy and who can come back and everything. How many people know about Richie's film? The idea of Richie's film.
You got to believe that there's a lot. You got to believe that there's a lot of people out there that know about it. Because just like they have the funds and the means to, you know, get all the freaking paraphernalia from all the screen, you know, all the movies, it is known now in the world of the interwebs that you, if you want something, you can get it, you can find it, and you can buy it. So, yeah, did I mention those two guys were assholes? Yeah, they're assholes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, we can say it continuously forever. Because yes, do not emulate those characters, listeners. Seriously. Don't do it. If you find yourself going that way, no. No. No.
Or at least write a good script of what you're feeling.
That'll get it out on paper, do something.
Yeah, let it out. Let it out in some other way, for God's sake.
Isn't that what they say sometimes when you have like bad thoughts? They say write it down on paper.
Yeah.
Get it out of your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get that shit out of your head.
Yeah.
But the kills.
What's that?
I was gonna say, but the kills for this Scream 6 were brutal.
So what do you do? At the end of the last movie, so let's say that one of the main heroines stabs the main antagonist killer 23 times before slicing their throat. How do you top that? You stabbed a killer 32 times, and then jab a knife. I'm laughing because these movies have become so cathartic. Talk about Just Desserts. Sam Carpenter, Melissa Barrera plays Sam Carpenter in this, and these movies have always been kind of an ensemble, but there is a way that character, that a switch kind of flips and then the carnage just starts. And it's rare to see in a horror movie, just somebody being able to cut loose. Punning? Yeah, not winning, but pun. Just there. Cutting loose, yeah. Just going off on someone in a way that you only see from the killer's perspective.
So usually the bad character is the one who does that.
Yeah.
Not the one you're rooting for.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you got Skeet Ulrich's face telling you to do bad things, you listen to it.
It's true.
And it was Skeet Ulrich.
Yeah, yeah.
He did come back and film that.
And here's the fun part about
time has not been well for him.
Here's the fun part about Force Ghost Billy.
Force Ghost Billy.
Like, that, you know, that representation of Billy isn't Billy. That's all built on everything that Sam has heard about Billy Loomis. You know? There's no first-hand relationship there. That's all a projection based on conditioning that's happened to Sam. What do the other characters see? Where could there be a space for, say, I don't know. Like, anybody that kind of latched on to Richie's mentality, right? Do they kind of see that kind of projection? Yeah. Like, how you really want to get into, like, the future of this franchise? How does that go? You know, when these events have started affecting people, when the cultural osmosis really kicks in, when somebody say, I don't, people have been clamoring for Matthew Lillard to come back in this thing, right? He had a voice cameo in part 5. You know, they used Stu Mocker's house as the final set piece.
Everybody's not to clamoring. Mention that. I was just going to sneak in real quick, not to mention the whole if you believe he's dead bit that they snuck in there.
Yeah. You know, this franchise has always been on top of larger conversations in the horror genre movie space. So I know speculation will turn people off. I know speculation kind of poisons the well in some cases, but we're a podcast. We just talk. Let's talk about it for a little bit. You know, what happens when characters like latch on too hard to what they think is the truth? Let's say somebody says, okay, yeah, Sidney Prescott's really responsible for this 30 years later. What are they seeing? Are they seeing distorted images of Sidney Prescott as they think they know her? You know, what if someone deep fakes Sidney Prescott's voice and uses that as a Ghostface voice instead of the standard voice?
And then some deep water.
Yeah, let's go, because Ghostface went to New York. It's the franchise is wide open. This thing is national. So if you're going big, you need big ideas. Where does this franchise go from here? I mean, at the top, I want to say pay Neve Campbell her money. If you bring her back, respect her performance throughout the franchise. Respect everybody's performance in general, but 25, 30 years on, respect her if you want to give her a role, give her, you know, a stake, some equity in the franchise, producer role, whatever, pay her her money. You know, and make those stories worthwhile. But where can this go? Because I think, especially with current events, the ever encroachment and threat of AI, deepfakes, you name it. If it's bad and it can happen, somebody's working on it. How does that translate to a franchise like Scream?
It's like you said, it's wide open. You could take it anywhere. There's still enough, you know, connections without having to make up new ones. How many more movies could you make? 3, 5, 6? It really seems like they could go anywhere and do anything they want with it, which is both awesome and a little bit intimidating, I guess, is the word for it. To put it bluntly, it seems like it would be really easy to fuck up because it's so wide open and you can go anywhere, do anything with it. And if you get that too deep in your mind, you may go someplace that's stupid.
Yeah, because we remember one franchise who decided to take their love to New York. That went over well.
It's fantastic.
So they learned. Dude, when the dude pulls out the shotgun on Ghostface in the grocery store, I'm like, oh, see? This is what would really happen in real life.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely what would happen in real life. The owner of a convenience store pulled out a shotgun and he missed, but like, that was real. I was like, oh, shit. You know, you didn't have him hiding like in the corners for all the kills and all that. He was out in daylight, just stalking them. They just wanted it. That's what you have to understand about these Ghostface. They really wanted to kill Sam so bad. They wanted her so done. That you gotta give it up to them because they three killers. I thought we had there was always the two killers, except for Roman, when Roman did it. But everything else is a pair of killers. Now we have three killers? You what imagine the rules? You can imagine, like, when we're talking about cult, cult of Ghostface.
Yeah, it could be a family. If a whole family got indoctrinated. Like, what happens? Okay, here's a scary thought. What does the anti-Woodsboro look like? What does a Woodsboro look like if they've all been indoctrinated into this idea? You know?
Just a town full of ghost faces?
Yes. Like it's going to sound corny when I say it, but in execution it'd be rad. They work on shifts.
Well, going bowling this week, Ted? Nope, got the graveyard shift. All right.
Jesus.
You know I'm right.
Punching. Card.
Like what are they doing?
The old cartoon with the goat like dog he's like, checking every time.
You know, like the entire makeup of a town or a neighborhood is just by this idea that if you're on the list, somebody puts on a mask and you're done. And you coordinate your stories and you move everything around. Next one on the list, and next one, and next one.
It could be ever going.
Yep.
Everlasting in that part. Because it is. It's in part six, it is the story of finishing his film. So you already have two misguided utes dealing with this. Who else? Who else would be so revved up?
You think that's scary? How about just a goddamn subreddit full of ghost faces?
Well, they kind of hinted at it.
They sure did. that's actually terrifying.
That probably explains the 2016 election, though.
Yeah. The less we say about it, except don't let that shit happen again.
Yeah. Don't do that.
It's fast 4 years though.
Yeah, and it still hurt.
Facts.
Is the Scream franchise a place for legacy characters after part six?
The core four? Come on. The core four. Are they legacy characters now? They've been two movies.
Yeah, so what's the does the franchise have space to I understand killing characters if you think you have to spike interest, but I don't want to get into the habit of franchise killing characters off just to kill characters off. I like more of a revolving door. I like people to come in and out. you know, there's always a spot in a story as long as you care, you know, like we said back with Halloween, you know, as long as you commit and as long as you care, then you can do amazing things on film. And I think that they have, you know, room to tell these stories, to have characters coming in and out of franchise without completely removing them from the premises. So moving forward, do we see a direct sequel, or can we see people kind of move in and out for a little bit?
I don't know if we can. It's tough because we had, since they're back-to-back movies, any more sequels? What would that entail? That's what really... Is it a requel? Will this become a trilogy of one more Scream 7? Because they already put in the groundwork that they were gonna, that Sydney already knew what was going on in New York.
Yeah. I would like to see a Scream movie in which the characters admit that they have no term, they have no point of reference for what's happening. Almost as if they're like, what does a Scream movie look like if it's a Siege movie? You know? Like they're so convinced that it's one thing, but it's something else.
That could work. I will
say the way Six ends, some of the visual elements coming out of that make me think it could go either way. Either they make more movies or they just leave it there. And that shot from Richie's film of the mask and the robe on fire is supposed to be a message to everyone watching that, by the way, maybe we're done.
Maybe we're done here. Yeah. Yeah, I think it would be amazing if, and I have no idea how they would pull it off because people are selfish and foolish and weird and would just blab. But if you could somehow open a movie and nobody has an idea that it's a Scream movie until the very end,
I don't know how the hell you'd pull that off in this day and age, but it would be fucking amazing if you did. Wow, Scream 6, budget at 35, made 168.8. Damn.
Yeah, so they'll be back. We just don't know how.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well, we do have a problem with someone hallucinating her father, her dead father. So, I mean, there's still that. There is. They can make Sam the bad guy easily.
Yeah, and I, you know, I don't know how I feel about that because it goes into places with depictions of issues that you have to have a deaf hand to do that kind of stuff. I think
you need to be really careful.
Yeah, and I think that, and like I said, it goes back to the fact that it's not, and we know this, but you know, it's not Billy Loomis. It's basically, you know, her thoughts projected out based on her conditioning towards Billy Loomis. And ultimately she's a good person because in the end, she has always gravitated towards doing this to protect her people. Now, can the franchise kind of hold up questioning that for one more movie? She's a tough character, so yeah, but again, you have to make that kind of swing count. Another idea I had on the basis of headcanons and tying into something that Mark floated to us is that there is that thing known as the Scream the TV series that had three seasons. One of them with the traditional Ghostface mask, the other with a different mask, but still licensed for Scream. So, going into headcanons, going into stuff on the internet that either it will be believed or ignored, or, you know, deleted from history. What if? Drifting again back to the idea of a versus movie, a Scream versus movie. What if somebody starts taking inspiration from that mask from his TV series? What if there are killings with the traditional Ghostface mask that our characters don't know about because there are killings from the TV series with the traditional Ghostface mask that our characters don't know about? You know? Just because you don't know something doesn't mean that it hasn't happened.
And yeah, because we're just seeing what they want to show us now.
Right.
Well, it's to not say that in other towns across the, you know, across the world, they haven't been indoctrinated by the thoughts. So this, we're just seeing what is directly a result of, you know, Ghostface and his legacy. But what? Yeah, what if someone else is in some other town, some hobunk town, somewhere in the middle of God knows where, gets the same ideas that the other students had? Oh, we got to finish this film. And those two girls will be chased for the rest of their lives. It could happen.
Yeah. What happens if Sydney's idea of not being able to rest until Ghostface is in the ground, what if that idea has actually been happening and we haven't seen it? What if she's been out there
just murdering ghost faces?
Taking care of ghost faces before they show up.
She's turning to Van Helsing? She's going to start.
How far do you go to protect your family?
Yeah.
Scream 6 is all about family. Found family, core family, family, whatever you want to call it.
Family.
What if? How far does it go? If you want to stop it, like, really? What does that movie look like? Is it a Scream movie? Is it something else?
How brutal would Sidney Campbell's Ghostface kills be if they ever decided to go there? She'd be quietly picking people off like an assassin, or would there be displays left?
Gunshots in the head. That's all of them.
I think we proved that that's the method most reliable. Yeah,
that is how you kill Ghostface. You shoot him in the head.
Or she'll improvise with a pair of shock paddles.
Oh, yeah. Shot in the heart. Shot in the heart. And you're to blame. You give a little bad name.
That's right.
How to finish it.
That's Woodsboro.
Well, now we're going to get DMCA'd. God damn it.
No, we didn't sing it.
Sorry. Shot to... Oh, don't.
I'm a Jersey boy. Don Jovi won't.
It's fine.
It's all good.
So yeah, lots of places this can go. I'm excited for the future. I do hope Neve Campbell comes back. I hope she stays within the franchise's orbit. I think you can weave Sydney Prescott in and out of stories without removing her entirely, because it's fiction. Why not? You know, we need survivors. You know, it's horror. I know everything's bleak, but I think we've seen that we need survivors. And with that, I think that's going to wrap it up. Fellas, any final thoughts about Scream before we tee things off for next time?
I hope they make more, because I really enjoyed 4, 5, and 6.
You're muted.
That's it.
They will make more.
All right. Yep. And I want to see more too. Next time. Yeah. Next time, guess what we're talking about? Terrifier. You know, Carlos, we never talked about Terrifier Part 2. And you know it's important because I called it a Part 2 and I just didn't just call it Terrifier 2. We need to talk about some Art the Clown. We need to take y'all along with us. So next time, we're going to be talking about Terrifier and yes. Terrifier Part 2. And we are going to have a blast.
Yes.
But until then, this has been It's Them Damn Enchiladas, the podcast. Adam Griffin, Carlos Rivera, Rob Christie, Mark Warren, podcast producer, Vote Stars. Thank you, Mark.
You got it.
Thank you for listening. And we will see you next time. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Good time zone, y'all.